Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour, and this is March the 23rd, the year 2012. So we do know it's a live show tonight, so if anyone wants to call in, they can. I really enjoy it when people call in and express their opinions. And we are still going to be talking about our trip to China. We had some more things we wanted to say about that trip, and we didn't get to finish it last week. There's usually more than we can do in one show anyway. Well, let me give out first the toll-free number in case anyone does want to call in. 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. And that number is good all over the world. And I'm speaking tonight again with our office in England. But actually, the woman I'm speaking to works for us, but she's not at the office right now because it's midnight over there. But she works for us in our office in England. So, Mrs. Stephanie, that was on last week. Okay, Stephanie, are you there?
I am. Hello there. It's midnight here.
That's what I was thinking. At least you didn't go to sleep yet.
Well, I may have had a little nap, but it's all good now.
And we did have trouble last week with the gremlins because they got in there and knocked you off of the air. And so I was just kept talking until we got you back on. But tonight you're on Skype, which should make it a lot better with all of these modern technologies they have. So yeah, they keep wanting to put me on Skype. The only problem is I don't have that equipment in my house. It's all in the office. But eventually we'll get it all over on that, I think. Mm-hmm. Okay, Stephanie, but last week we were still talking about our trip to China, to Shanghai, whenever everything began acting up. Anyway, there was just a few more things that I didn't bring up. You know, Leo told us so much about China, and I wanted to know everything about it because I always want to understand the cultures when we go in somewhere. And you said last week that you worked in China, lived and worked there for 2 years as a teacher of English, didn't you?
Well,
not in Shanghai, but in China.
Well, okay, but it was Taiwan, and so some people are going to say, well, it wasn't quite China, it was Taiwan, but I'm very familiar with the culture, and I did travel to mainland China often, and so I have a great love of that area of the world and an understanding of the people and also a love for the people there, and so it was fantastic to go back there, and I'd never been to Shanghai before, which was wonderful.
Yeah, and I had never been. The closest I had been was Hong Kong and Kowloon, but I had never been over into the mainland either. So it was a totally new experience. And it's not at all what we thought it was going to be. And that's what makes me wonder. Sometimes the impression they give you of these countries, people get the wrong idea. And I always say you never know until you actually go yourself and then meet these people and get to see what they're like. And the people were delightful everywhere we went.
They were. I mean, that didn't surprise me at all. I remember how welcome I was whenever, you know, wherever I went. You know, they're lovely, lovely people. And so I was looking forward to being back, you know, with them. But I think Shanghai itself did surprise me because I was in Beijing 13 years ago, and it was completely different to Shanghai, very, very much more traditional and what people were probably expecting, you know, from China. But Shanghai is in every way a modern city, very, very westernized with everything that you could possibly imagine. It's all there. It's a very exciting place.
Yeah, I mean, they had brand new cars, and the people were dressed very nice. Everything was modern. We didn't see any homeless or anybody begging on the streets. Everybody just seemed to have everything they wanted.
That's right, and it felt very safe as well. It felt clean, it felt safe. It was just a fun place to be. Very busy and chaotic, but, you know, fun.
Yeah, any big city is like that. And,
yeah.
Of course, people live in the apartments, the high-rise apartments, but then that's the same way, too, in most of the big cities in the world. They have that in Moscow, but they also have it in New York City and even in London, because it's the only way so many people can live jammed into one place like that.
Well, I think we were saying last week there are 60 million people that live in Shanghai, and when I asked my translator that, I mistakenly thought she said 16 million, and I thought that that was a lot, but no, 60 million people. So there's a lot of people, and it's well organized, it's clean, it's like I said, feels safe, there's lots to see, lots to do. It's a great place to visit.
And the people are so very polite.
Yeah, they really are, very much. Very welcoming,
well,
very polite.
During this last week, after I got back, you know, I do other radio shows besides mine, and I was on another radio show. And when I mentioned that I had just come back from China, they seemed quite shocked. They said, "We're really surprised that they would let you in there." And I said, "Why? What would be the problem?" We just said, they said, "I didn't think they would let Americans in, and they especially wouldn't let me in." I guess they think my work's controversial or something. Well, I don't know if it is or not, but that was what they said. It was surprised they let me in. And I said, "Well, it's easy to get in. You have to have a visa." But there wasn't any problems at all. And
no,
then
it's so much more open
the
than it
radio
used to be.
Show said, "You mean you weren't censored?" I said, "No, the people, they came to the lecture. We had about 300 people at the lecture, and they came from all over China. And we had a very large class, and they were from all over China. And they were very knowledgeable about metaphysics and about my work, which really surprised me."
I think that that was one of the biggest surprises. And I think also we discovered that they've got words for the kind of concepts that you speak about, which actually aren't even concepts or words that are familiar to us here in the West. And so that did make it easier for us to communicate.
Of course, they said a lot of it comes from the Internet, so that shows you how widespread the Internet is, even in communist countries.
Well, there were a couple of times I tried to get on a couple of sites. I'm not sure whether it was just my connection, but I did find Facebook. I wasn't able to get on there, but obviously, you know, whatever you're saying on the Internet is very accessible to people there, and that's a good thing.
Because I don't know how they're finding out about it, what sites, but they were very familiar with my work and my books. I only have a few books that are translated over there, and we found out they were translated in Taiwan. We found out that there's a different kind of language, a different kind of Chinese that's spoken in Taiwan and written in Taiwan than on the mainland. But we brought books from Taiwan, and all of them sold. But so I don't know how they're getting the information, but they did say it was coming from the different Internet sites. And they were very familiar with the concepts I speak about and about metaphysics in general. And
I think
it was very well accepted.
Yeah. This is the beauty of the Internet. It just transcends everywhere, every culture, because their information was the same information that is available anywhere on the planet. And so this is how your work is traveling everywhere.
Well, that's why I couldn't understand why this host on the radio show said, "You mean you weren't censored?" I said, "No, nobody asked what I was going to be speaking about. There wasn't any problems with that. And the people in the audience were very acceptive." Of course, you always have one or two who wants to argue with you, but the ones who did were also accessed to the Internet, and they were getting some of the other writers' viewpoints. So we had little discussion with some of them. So it shows you how wide the Internet is and how the information is spreading everywhere. And there's not any censorship that I could see anyway. While we were there, we did make contacts with very important people. who are going to translate my books into the mainland Chinese language. And I thought that was a very important context when we met them.
Oh, yeah, we were very lucky to meet them. We've met some very interesting and some very helpful people then. And I was just thinking about the censorship thing. I think because you are a very respectful in your message, and your message is really just about love and oneness, it's kind of hard to object to that. And also because they've got, you know, the basis for their culture is Buddhist, and they've got a lot of belief already in reincarnation. So, you know, why would they censor you? You're not there to make any trouble.
No, because that was what they were saying. Like you said, when we began to explain the concepts that I was working with in my books, they did have Buddhist other names in the Buddhist religion to explain the same things. So it's more of one than people think when you're traveling like this. Mm. And but no, there was no censorship. And what they explained to us was that the Chinese language in Taiwan, that they read up and down, and the one on the mainland, they read across. And the characters, the Chinese characters, are totally different. But, you know, the history of Taiwan, it was all part of China at one time. Mm-hmm. And it was after the Second World War, when the country became a communist, is when Taiwan split away and became its own country. So maybe that was when they changed everything, wanted to be different than the mainland China.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the difference is or when that happened, but I think you might be right. That makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh, because now they're saying they didn't want any similarity, which would make sense in the difference in the language.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they want to put my books into the mainland Chinese, and it's happening. They're already making contacts, and all of this is in the works, because the books are going all over the world, and that's amazing in itself.
It is. I mean, when you consider how many people read Chinese around the world, and obviously not just in China, I mean, the number of people who will be able to understand and access this information is incredible, really.
Yeah, and, you know, they are spreading to other languages. I got an email just today from my publisher in Russia, and he has published two more of my books there. So they're doing all of my books in Russian over there. But that's a different kind of a culture. So everywhere I go, I just have to adapt to the people and what's happening there.
That's true. And I think one of my favorite things that I enjoyed the most was seeing how the work and what you teach just transcends any culture, any language barriers. And once people really understand how the technique works, they're just amazed by it, and they see the same results. It doesn't matter where they are, what their culture is, what they speak. It works.
And they all getting the same information that I've been getting and I've been writing about all these years.
So that was really
exciting,
wasn't
it? Even though I didn't need any proof, it shows to me it is real. The information is real because everyone is getting the same things. I found no contradiction in what they're coming up with.
No, that was exciting, wasn't it? With all the messages coming through, all the experiences of the people there, it was all the same. It doesn't matter where you go or where the information comes through, it's all the same.
Yeah, what Stephanie is talking about, we have expanded the class now to 5 days, and one of those days we have the people go and practice on each other. So this way they can't get out of it by saying, I'm afraid to try it. We make them go and practice on each other, then come back the last day and tell what they have found. And yes, they're all getting the same information. And where it used to be, we were mostly getting past lives when we went into the past life part of the technique. And now we're not getting that anymore. We haven't been getting it for several years now. Now when I do past life regressions, the only time I get past lives or if I think the person has some kind of karma to work out. Otherwise, they're going to be one of the three waves of volunteers that I've written and bought and talked about. So these people were what they were getting. They were coming up with the same stories that I have of people who have never been on Earth before and came from other planets and spaceships, and some of them coming directly from God, from the source. So it shows these volunteers are all over the world in every country, and they all say the same things, and they all are feeling the same feelings about, you know, not wanting to be here, that kind of thing. So to me, that really, it's overpowering anyway to see that I've really touched into something that is real.
One of the most exciting ones I remember was a woman who said that, well, she had two people regressing her. One didn't sort of work because she knew him too well, but he gave up because she said, "I can see a blue light," and he got frustrated with her, so he let another therapist try, and then the other therapist tried to do it, and again the lady saw a blue light, and immediately it was obvious that this soul had come straight from the source, and the blue light was the source. And so she was able to see that she'd come here as a volunteer, and she said, "Well, hang on, I've had another past life regression with someone else, and I saw a past life," and you're able to tell her that was an imprint, which was
they didn't know anything about imprints either.
Yes. Yeah. No, she didn't. She knew nothing about that, which was really exciting for everybody to hear about.
So they are getting the same information. So I'm not making this up. I knew I wasn't, but it really helps to get verification when you hear people all over the world are getting the same results. And, yeah, a lot of therapists would give up when their client just sees a light and they don't know what questions to ask to find out where they are.
Well, this lady saw a blue light, and the first therapist, who was, I think, her partner, sort of thought she wasn't under, or she might have been making things up, and he got frustrated. But fortunately, the other therapist persisted, and she had a wonderful experience, you know, playing with asteroids and bouncing around, and she didn't want to come back.
They don't. They like it out there. Yeah, we divide them up into threes so that one, they can all have a turn, one being the therapist, one being the client, and one being the observer. So they all had a turn to see what they could find. And I think this is very encouraging for the pupils, the students, because there was very few that didn't get anything. And this showed them, you just do it, you're going to get something. Okay, let me see. I wanted to go back to talking about some of the things. I had some notes here about China anyway. I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but the hot orange juice really got me.
You enjoyed it. I just thought I just really don't want to do hot orange juice. I'll stick with my coffee. When I eventually discovered where the coffee machine was, I was happy, but... Yeah, you were brave with the hot orange juice. It wasn't my, I guess, cup of tea.
Well, the first morning I went down to breakfast, and they had the machine, and I didn't know what it said, but someone pointed out the one for orange juice, that one to button to push, and somebody said it said on there, this is genuine American orange
yes,
juice.
Was fun, wasn't it? It was an American thing, and, you know, we'd never heard of it.
But when I poured out I pushed the button to pour out the cup, two things were coming out, orange juice and hot water. And I was thinking, why is it hot? When I picked it up, it spilled some of it because it was picking up a really hot cup.
Yeah.
And then we found out... that way was the whole time we were there. It was hot orange juice, and I waited till it cooled down, and it was really very good. But then, whenever we would have dinner and we'd ask them for a glass of water, they'd bring us a glass of hot water. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. It's Well, it's to do with Chinese medicine, and of course, historically, they had to boil their water, and so they used to flavor it with tea because, because it
That's
was
what they said, going back year, oh, long, long, long time ago, they found out that the water was bad and it would cause diseases. So one way to keep it from doing that would be to boil the water. So that's why they turned to tea. But like you said, some parts of Europe did it the other way, and they went to beer and wine to keep away from the bad water. So this is
Yes,
where all of that came from.
this is a little more healthy, isn't it? The Chinese way is a little more healthy.
Instead of the beer and the wine. But,
I think one of
when
my
Germany
favorite
had
things
the
there was
beer to get
vodka.
something that wasn't going to kill people.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I think one of my favorite food
I just.
things there was the Haagen-Dazs place that we went to with the beautifully dressed staff and their hats and their gloves and then the amazing ice cream cakes. You don't see that anywhere else.
Oh, yeah, the Haagen-Dazs. They have Haagen-Dazs in the States, but nothing like the one we found down there in downtown Shanghai.
It was like walking into a five-star hotel. It was unbelievable, the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
But it's
And we
not just
wanted ice
ice,
cream.
not just scoops of ice cream like they have here. They have them decorated with all kinds of candies and cookies and little things stuck in it. And it was like a children's fairyland, really.
It was amazing. I go back just for that.
I think it would go over here, except, you go in and sit down. Instead of usually Haagen-Dazs, you get your ice cream and you leave. But there it was all done in a restaurant setting, and everybody just, they love it. You sit down and have this very fancy ice cream.
It was one of my favorite things that we did. It was great. Yeah.
And we liked it when we could find a restaurant that had Western food.
That was good. Brazilian, we discovered Brazilian, which was fun, which was unexpected and very good.
Because I don't know, I apologize out there, but the Chinese food in China is not at all like the Chinese food in America. And I don't know what it's like in London, but it wasn't like that at all, was it?
No, it is different, and I went out and there were several places that, I mean, I love Chinese food, but there are some things that I just, well, I saw live snake on one of the menus. I went to the restaurant. I didn't order that.
But
Not
it's
even
not
tested.
at all, we eat Chinese food in the States and we like it, but it's not at all like the real thing over there.
No, not at all.
Oh, we were getting to wonder what we were going to have to eat. And we did find a few restaurants that did have Western food, but that's because they were Western restaurants. Like this one was a Brazilian, and then I went to the French restaurant that one night. But the people who were putting on the event soon figured out that we didn't like the Chinese food, so they in the restaurant where they all of the students ate at, they gave us tables by ourselves, and they began bringing us our own food, which they thought was Western food. But they found out I liked sandwiches after I told figured out told them what it was. So every day we had sandwiches.
Yes, we
But
did,
at
didn't
least it was something we could eat anyway.
I think we did. We mentioned last week the sugar sprinkles on the potato salad because they're pretty. So they made us very nice potato salad, and they put sugar sprinkles on top, the colorful sugar strands on top, and then we had a salad made of dragon fruit. That was what the name of it. The fruit with the black seeds in it. That's dragon fruit. And tomato and mayonnaise and sugar sprinkles. It was actually very good.
Also, you saw something the other students were eating, and you wanted that, and it turned out to be something like spaghetti with the
Oh,
noodles and sauce on it. So
yeah,
they
that was
saw you liked that, so they brought that every night for you too.
massive platters of it. I couldn't eat it all, but it was very kind of them to take good care of us like that.
Oh, they took wonderful care of us. Now, Don said there's a caller online. Okay, is somebody there?
Yes, it's me, Dolores.
Who is it?
This is Dawn from California.
Okay.
I'm a very big fan of yours. I've read all your convoluted Earth books, and it was the custodian that hooked me to your wonderful, wonderful therapy that you do, and plus educating us on what you've learned. Your book had opened up so many doors, and then the knowingness came through. And so my question is, Sheldon Neidel, he's a contactee from Sirion, and he spent a lot of time on Sirius when he was a child on the Galactic Federation ships. And he has on YouTube a lot of videos. And one of his videos, he states that in December of 2012, our guardian angel as well as our spirit guide are going to be in communication with us, and we're going to be going into the center of the Earth. And the Garthans, we have these light chambers that are made specifically for our bodies that are directed from the divineness of heaven, and these bodies are to activate and turn our bodies from a carbon base to a silicon crystalline base to be a part of our ascension process. In other words, we're going to be turning into galactic human angels. And actually, our process is to join the, be a part of universe, what they call the galactic angels of the universe.
Well, some of his elements there are correct. He's just got them a little out of the wrong order, and he has them happening too fast. But the one thing is, in the beginning, what you said, your guides and your guardian angels, your spirit guides, are talking to you all the time anyway. They're always communicating with you. So it doesn't have to wait for that day to happen. They communicate with you.
Yeah, but on a level where we can see them and communicate them with, like we like you and I would communicate.
Yeah, they can.
So are we going?
Oh yeah, you can do it now if you want to. Because in my lectures and my classes, people are always asking, "How can you communicate with them?" They are always talking to you. They want you to hear them, but we're so busy, we're caught up in our everyday life that we don't listen to them. But they're there, and if you train yourself through meditation or just being quiet, you can hear them and talk with them. So that doesn't have to wait
going to be going
a certain date. What?
So are we going to be going into light chambers and transforming ourselves to eventually evolve to the galactic humans?
You don't have to go in the light chambers. Everything is happening anyway. What he is confusing that with is the ETs have to go into the light chambers. This, because they don't eat food. They live off of light. And it's in one of my books, I think it's in Legacy from the Stars, it talks about how they live off of light, so they have to go into chambers to where they are bombarded by the light that feeds them. And they have to have this every so often. And the color of the light depends on how long they've been without it. But that's the light chambers that they live off of and they feed off of. Now, eventually, they said, we're going to get to that point where we won't need the physical body. But it's not going to happen that quick. It'll be a long time before we evolve into that part. The way I understand it in my work, we will gradually go in from the physical body to where you won't need food. You'll need less and less and be living off of liquids more than solid food. And then you'll be eventually not have to have any food at all. And that's when we begin to turn into light bodies. And, you know, there is something in the, I think it's it's one of the books, I can't remember which one it is, about how we are moving from carbon-based to crystalline-based. But that's going to take an extremely long time. It doesn't happen instantaneously. So he's got some of the facts. He just has the time element wrong. That's the way I see it. And you were talking about going underground. There are cities underneath the ground, the surface of the earth, but we won't need to go there. But he has
some
facts.
Do you have any idea of the time frame when we're going to be moving into the fifth dimension?
Oh, we are. We're there now.
In the fifth dimension?
Yes, we're already there. That's what if you read the Three Waves of Volunteers?
No, I have not read that. That's the next book I want to buy.
That's my new book that came out in the summer. It explains all of this about the Three Waves of Volunteers who have come here, and you are helping us to raise the energy to go into the next dimension and next vibration and frequency. And it has all about the new earth and how it's all happening. And it's not going to be something sudden. It's a slow process. If it was to happen suddenly, the human body couldn't take it and it would destroy the human body. So it's a slow process as we go into this other dimension. But it began about 2003 and you're already there. It's a gradual process and we're already there. My daughter Julia says the information she got was that you'll believe it when you'll see it when you believe it, because you're already there. You just don't expect it to be something totally different than it is.
Yeah, I expected most of the materialism to be all gone.
What?
I said I expected this materialisticness to be gone.
Oh, it will. Everything is changing. It's changing now. But it just won't be the sudden thing that you think. It's a very gradual process. And then all of a sudden you'll say, well, things are different. Things seem different. And from my emails, people are getting it. They're understanding it. They said, yeah, I know something is going on because everything feels different.
Other than the major alignment December 2012, what else do you see happening at that time frame? Any raise in consciousness or anything?
We're already doing it now.
No, I mean anything sudden that we're going to notice at that time frame?
No, you won't notice anything different at all. You'll get up on the next day and say everything is just like it was. You'll feel differently because they've told me that date has no meaning at all, that it just the accumulation of the energy that's been happening since 2003 and our bodies are changing. They are already in the process of changing. The DNA, everything is being changed. And by that time in 2012, which we're in now, it reaches the culmination of energy, becomes to the point where it pushes us all the way over into the fifth dimension, but you won't notice anything different at that time. It's such a gradual process. But in that book, I explain about the physical symptoms that people are having and how their bodies are definitely changing. And if you're noticing these things, you'll see that your body is already changing to adapt to that frequency.
I see. Well, thank you so much.
Stephanie, that's right. Everybody's thinking it's going to be something dramatic, don't they?
No, that's right. And it's true. I mean, people are already saying that they feel different, that they see things differently, that they're experiencing things differently. It's true. It's just, as Julia says, where you place your focus.
Are you guys aware of the new order, the Kabbalah that, you know, basically runs the government and stuff? Are you aware that it's coming down and they already have with Bill Gates arrested and under arrest, and there's going to be a lot more coming down the next few months? Or did they tell you anything about bringing down that system?
Have you read my books on Nostradamus?
No, I'm not a Notre Dame fan.
Okay, those are the first books of mine ever printed back in the 1980s, and I'm the one that coined that word, the cabal, in that book. Nobody had ever used that word until I wrote about it in the 1980s in the book about Nostradamus, where he was telling us what was going to happen and about the governments behind the governments and all of that. Now, that's been over 20 years that they've been saying all these things are going to happen. Can't you see what the idea is behind all of this that you're hearing? Can't you see it's fear?
Well, to them, not to us.
For you, it's trying to make people afraid.
To me, it sounds like relief, you know, freedom, having them all arrested and having the good take over and have them be outed of power and position.
They've been saying that for over 20 years, and it hasn't happened yet. It's all been a fear-based propaganda thing that's been going on all that time. And with the invention of the Internet, it has increased. And you don't know the emails I get where people are buying into all of that. All it is propaganda, and it's fear-based to get people to be afraid.
Yeah,
whether you want to leave it, if you choose to live in that kind of a world, all right. If you don't want that to be your world, it won't be your world. See the difference?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. I mean, it's not your world until you accept it and buy into it. Then it becomes your world. Uh-huh. That's where the splitting of the two happen when we go into the new earth. It all has to do with belief system.
And but we're all moving into the new earth?
What?
Even the dark and negative ones?
Yeah, it's all fear. It's all it is. It's fear-based. To get you to be afraid. If you're afraid, then you won't go to the light because you'd be afraid. That's how they've controlled people for thousands of years is with fear. And that was what I was told in my work to tell everyone. You've got to get away from fear. Don't buy into fear. That's what will hold you back from doing the ascension and from moving into the fifth dimension. Fear is the one thing that will keep you from going. So I tell people, think for yourself. Look at it, examine it, ask lots and lots of questions. And if it doesn't make sense, well, then don't buy into it. They can't control you unless
you believe it.
What?
I said exactly, and I agree with you about that fear base. That's why I don't watch TV. I stay away from news, and I'm constantly visualizing what I want the new earth to be and removing a lot of this man-madeness and put more love and beauty and restore things back to nature.
That's what it's all about. That's what they want us to do. Because
I'm working the law of attraction on that one.
They said fear is not real. Fear is an illusion. For entertainment purposes only, and the only thing that is real is love. And that's what we have to focus on, because that's what the whole new earth, the whole thing is all about, is moving into this whole love vibration, and it is tremendous. That's what's going to separate the two earths. But I can feel it in my heart. Uh-huh, yeah. It's all in the three ways. It talks about how it all works. But, no, don't buy into that stuff. They've been trying for over 20 years to get people to be afraid. So you don't have to. It's all up to you whether you want to believe it or not and be afraid. I'd rather work in the light. I don't see the darkness cannot live and cannot exist in the light. If you're in the light, nothing can come near you. Nothing can harm you.
Well, that's good, and that's why I appreciate your work, by educating us and opening our minds, and it brings out more information. The more stuff you write, I found myself, when I read your first convoluted Earth book, I'm sitting there, I got the second one, I'm going, yeah, and I'm going, hey, how do I know this stuff? I've never experienced it. I know what she's talking about. And that's when all these doors and my consciousness totally opened to being much more aware of everything around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for that.
People say they read the books and they're saying, I know this, but I don't know how I know it. So, anyway.
That's
well, I'm glad it helped you, though, but think for yourself and don't buy into all this negativity. Okay.
I will. Well, thank you so much, Dolores. I appreciate you talking with me.
Okay, and thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Okay. See, but that's interesting because, you know, Stephanie, that's what we are trying to get away from, aren't we? This fear-based and the negativity.
I guess that's one of the few downsides of the internet, and the internet unfortunately is being used to spread that, and that's something that we kind of need to talk about is just staying in the light. It's about love, it's about oneness, and what you focus on and what your choice is to focus on.
Yeah. He said there's another caller, and we do want to watch the time because I want out something important that's coming up that we're going to be doing. Okay, you said there was Nancy online?
Yes,
okay.
Hi, Dolores.
Yeah, all right, I can barely hear you. Go ahead and speak up.
Okay, yeah, I'm calling from Pennsylvania, and one's a comment and one's a question. The comment is, the original definition of fear meant to be in awe of. When it says fear the Lord, it didn't mean be scared of, be afraid. It meant be in awe of, tremble with the from the magnificence of God. The opposite of fear is safety, and that safety is just to create awe in God. Fear is just man-made, our definition, but the original definition just meant to be in awe of.
Yes, I've heard that, and that makes perfect sense.
Yes, it is perfect sense.
My question is back with
China. Do they have any kind of radio stations in China?
They have many radio stations.
There must
have been, but
I didn't get
BBS?
On any of the radio stations. Well, you know, everywhere I go all over the world, people say they listen to this station, this program here. Everywhere I go, they listen to me.
In China, do they have, like, an internet radio like we have, like BBS or Hay House or Voice America? Do they have many different speakers on, you know, radio?
Well, like I said, I don't know because I couldn't even get on internet when I was over there. Stephanie could, but I didn't have my computer with me, and everything would have been Chinese anyway. But people listen to this program in China. They listen to it all over the world when I broadcast, and I'm always surprised when I get there. They say, we listen to you every Friday night. So I know this show is getting out. And they also talk about the internet.
I'm still wondering if the Chinese are doing something similar over there to promote lots of speakers.
I wouldn't be surprised. It just that where we were, we didn't come into contact with that information, so I don't really know.
I wouldn't
be surprised because they are very knowledgeable about this, that it has to be coming from somewhere.
Yeah, I would think they would have that, you know, all their different Chinese kind of philosophies expressed in some kind of a internet radio show. I was just curious, you know, I was just curious.
Well, I did hear, and this has been for the last year, that the Chinese... they definitely believe in UFOs because it's not a secret there. It's not covered up by the government, and they do a lot of investigations, and they let them their news goes out to the people. They don't try to hide it when they have evidence of UFOs and ETs. So that's
do they have any idea what stars or constellations or planets or galaxies
that doesn't make any difference. If you read my books, they say they don't have any names from where they come from, because where they come from, it's all mind to mind. And they said humans are the ones that have to put labels on things and say, oh, we came from this
yeah.
one or that one.
Yeah,
they don't
true.
Use names. They said if we yeah. were to tell you we came from that star out there by the Milky Way or something, they said you wouldn't know where it was anyway because it's, the scientists don't have a name for it. So they don't use
no,
names for things. Only humans put labels on things.
Okay. Oh, I wonder what they call us. I wonder what if they know our language.
Oh, they, it's all mind to mind.
Yeah, it's just energy, I guess.
It's mind to mind, so there's no... The first thing that happens when it's mind to mind is total honesty, because they read your thoughts. They know everything you're thinking. Everything is total honesty. And so it doesn't have matter what language it is. It's all mind to mind and thought to thought.
Yeah, so when do you think Earth is going to be mental telepathy?
Started in there. The custodians is the main one. Okay. Okay.
When do you think...
What?
When do you think Earthlings are going to have mental telepathy and no speaking, just read each other's thoughts?
There.
When do you think that'll happen?
We're getting there. It's happening now. Because if people
yeah.
notice, their psychic abilities are all returning and they're getting stronger. And we are noticing
yes.
a big difference now. It is coming back. Everything we lost is coming back to us. And everything is going over to the more psychic abilities. And don't be
yeah,
surprised.
Yeah, I love it.
Don't be surprised if you start knowing what other people are thinking.
Oh, did you just say that? Think that?
Okay,
did you just think
thanks
that?
Thanks for calling in, Nancy.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Stephanie, before it gets any later, I do want you to talk about what we're going to be doing in Europe toward the end of the year. You know, I'll be going over there the end of July, and conference and classes all over Europe. So tell them what we're going to be doing, the conference in London. Talk about that one first.
Okay, the conference in London is, it's the first transformation conference that Ozark has ever held outside of the U.S. So this is, you know, a first. It's exciting. We've got two different speakers who are speaking at both Rogers and in London. So the London one is on, it starts August the 31st, which is Friday. Then it's Saturday, and then the Sunday, the 2nd, it finishes. We have, I think, 15 different speakers. Obviously, Dolores is on the Sunday, and she will be doing a forward life progression. This is something that she does occasionally, but she's going to be doing more of this because we want to address, you know, we're going to be here after 2012. So, you know, we're going to look at you know, our future lives and how we can create that. And so that's in August, and we've got Arun Gandhi, who is one of the Ozark authors, and he wrote about his grandmother, Mahatma Gandhi's wife, and he will be speaking about total nonviolence. Then we've also got at both conferences, we've got Wayne Peterson, who has written about extraordinary life, extraordinary beings, and his experiences, his lifelong experiences with the spiritual hierarchy and, you know, where humanity is at. And so they're both speaking at both conferences, which is, you know, really exciting. And then, Dolores, you're starting in Glastonbury at the Glastonbury Symposium on the 29th of July. Then you're going to be touring all around. There's Helsinki, Munich, Rome. And then, of course, there's the cruise.
Yes, I want you to tell them about that.
Okay, well, that's sort of the final thing that we're doing before you head home. And so the cruise starts in Rome on October the 5th. And I do encourage people to register for that because you haven't got all that long to register. So we're encouraging people to register now because it is filling up. So it's going to be, it's very, very popular. So if you are thinking about joining us, please register now. We'd love to.
The Mediterranean.
That's right. So it starts on the 5th of October. It's 10 days or 11 days and 10 nights. We do Athens, Ephesus. So we see Mother Mary's house. We're having a little lecture at, you know, in Ephesus. Santorini, Mykonos, Rhodes, Sicily, Naples. And Athens is very exciting because we'll be at the Parthenon there. And of course, that's where you share a past life experience there in convoluted four. And so we're going to visit that site. And then we finish back in Rome on the 15th of October.
So it's 11 days.
11 days, that's right. 10 nights, 11 days.
And you can going to include Egypt in the cruise, but they said all the cruise lines have stopped going to Egypt because of the violence over there. So they've cut that part out. But it's going to be enough exciting places as it is. We'll be going all over the Mediterranean. And we have other speakers that are going to be on the cruise. So we'll have workshops and lectures, as well as getting to see all these places when we hit the ports. So it's going to be exciting. When we talked about it in China, they said a bunch of them got together and they wanted to form a whole group to come. So like, there's going to be a lot of Chinese on that cruise.
Yeah, that would be just fantastic. So many people from all around the world are joining us for this. It's just fantastic. Really, really. We're very, very much looking forward to it. And yeah, it would have been fantastic to have gone to Egypt, but, you know, another time. It's fine. We'll do this. And
another
it'll be
time. And if some of them people I've talked to have never been on a cruise, and it is a fantastic adventure to go on a cruise because the ships are as big as a floating city. They are huge. The ones I've been on have as many as 11 and 12 floors, and they're enormous. You don't even know you're moving because it's so big. And everything is included in the price. It's food 24 hours. And there's all kinds of shows that go on the ship. So it is like a vacation where you don't have to do anything. Just enjoy yourself and everything is included.
We mentioned
so if you are interested, how do you want them to find out about us, Stephanie?
Well, you can go to Ozark Mountain. So it's ozarkmt.com and you can click through. And the other thing you can do is go to lifejourneys.net and then it's slash canon and you'll be able to see by clicking through to Life Journeys. So either one, Ozark Mountain or Life Journeys, will get you onto the website.
Okay. And the Ozark Mountain, it's our company. It's spelled OZARKMT.com. And if you're overseas, it's OZARKMT.com.
That's right. And you can also register for the conferences. There's a dedicated site from the Ozark Mountain site, too. So if you're interested in any more of the conference information, we've got the program up there at the moment with most of the speakers' information and biographies up there. So you can get to see, and choose which one. Hey, come to both. We'd love to see you.
I'm looking forward to it because, I mean, after all the classes and talks I'm going to be doing all over Europe, I'll be glad to get on that ship and relax.
It's going to be
great. I love cruises because they're so calm and, you know, relaxing. So anybody interested, check on our website, and it'll tell you how to go over to register. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody on this.
Yeah. Guy Needler is our other author. He wrote The History of God. He's an Ozark author, and so he does a wonderful book, The History of God, a channeled work. And, of course, Julia Cannon, who is Dolores' daughter, she'll be presenting her new book where she has written about her findings between the relationships between, you know, illnesses and spiritual and emotional causes. And so she'll be giving a workshop, but Dolores will, of course, be doing the most workshops. And so we'll be hearing about her past lives. We'll be hearing about some of the most important things from her new book, Convoluted Four. And she'll be giving some group regressions too. So, and you know, just a wonderful way of relaxing with everybody and getting to know, you know, Ozark authors, and spending time with them that you won't get to spend with them otherwise.
Yeah, I was noticing the time. We were going to sign off right now. Okay, Stephanie, but thanks for being on. And
it was going
to pull the plug, so we're going to have to get out of here. So thanks, everyone, for listening tonight. And I'll be on live again next week. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Thank you. Good night.